First Sunday of February already. I really want to put online and ask us to pray for our president. I'm seeing the rhetoric and the silliness already starting, and we don't need that right now. You know, there are real things that we need to deal with and adjust, and name calling, and you know, we don't need that. We don't want that, you know. And I was hoping that this term it would be a little bit different. And I'm hoping still that it is. It's just the beginning. So let's just take a moment. Lord, you told us to pray for our leaders, the leaders of our nations, and the leaders of, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And you've given us very specific instructions. So, church leaders, political leaders, law enforcement, military. You said if your people who are called by your name would humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, you would hear from heaven and heal our land. Well, Lord, we come before you taking the first steps. We're going to humble ourselves and pray, and we're going to seek your face. And with your anointing and your grace and your favor, we're going to continually turn from our wicked ways. We ask for you to show mercy, hear from heaven, and just begin to heal this land. I pray that he does, the president does well, and that he does it with the right heart and the right spirit. I come against any spirit that is contrary to you, and only you can touch and change. You said the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whatsoever he way, where he wills. So we submit to all the leaders, the kings around the world, the people, Lord God, that you get the heart of these people and turn it in the way it should go. And if it's in the way that it should be going, then you, when it is, you show us that we see it. We don't get caught up in the way that we want, but in the way that you will. And we trust you to make a difference for our great nation and the nations around the world. Step in now. We know the end is creeping up on us, and we want to be ready, and we want to be right, and we want to be prepared. And we thank you in the name of our Savior, Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. It's been on my heart to begin to pray for leadership. And so that's something I've been doing. That's not something that those who know me have like heard me regularly do, but it's been on my heart. So the title of today's message, I know you're like, oh, he's giving it up front. Yes, I know. I know, Sophie, I know. The title of today's message is God as a Friend. And I didn't come up with that title. Literally, that was the word that was spoken to me. And I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, take the title first, think about me as a friend, what it means to you, and then I'll begin to expose to you scriptures that show God is a friend. And right away, the first thing came to my mind is, you know, I am a friend of God, the song. And okay, yeah, the scripture calls it, I call you not servants, but I call you friends. And he said, as I begin to pray, the Holy Spirit began to show me there are so many more scriptures that show, confirm, and validate my friendship towards you, that you just get that I no longer call you servants, but call you friends, and try to build a whole world around that one scripture and one alone. And I try to look up scriptures that where God says, I'm your friend, and I didn't find any. So I said, okay, so then it's in your word in other ways. And he said, you have to look at it from this perspective. You guys ready? What do you consider or call a friend? What are some of the requirements of a friend? And you can actually go in the chat and put it in if you want to. But what are some of the requirements? And if you want to unmute and say, you can do that too. But I would like to know, like from one person, and I don't want to hear a whole discography on it, but just attributes of something or someone you would say, now that's a friend. You can come on one at a time.
Trustworthiness.
Karen said trustworthiness. Roof typed loyalty. Trustworthiness, loyalty. Go ahead.
Someone to laugh with.
Someone to laugh with, someone that you can enjoy yourself with. Have a good time. I love this. Thank you. This is good. Keep them coming. Come on, Q. You don't have a somebody, Q, Nelly, you don't have nothing to say what a friend is?
It's someone that you could lay your head on, like you could, it's a resting place. You could unveil,
You can
in
rest.
fact.
You can be basically be vulnerable.
Cook, thank you.
That's a good word. That's a good word. Okay, read some of them to me, Edwidge, because I see them popping up.
Okay, so sees the best in me was Lindsay. Consistency was Sophie. Esther, someone who will tell you the truth. Sophie, trustworthy. And Celine, reliability.
So Kwame, you the only one that didn't give anything? That now I'm picking on you for a reason, right? Because if you can't identify a friendship trait, then are you a friend? No, and I'm not picking on him. I'm bringing this up for a reason, right? And I'm having you answer these questions because these are things that we require of a friend. But that means you're required then to show that to a friend. Everything you described are things that you guys are saying, this is what I expect from a friend. So then the question becomes, probably want to be a pro. So that's cheating. That's looking at somebody else's test paper. But I let it slide today. Do you require this of a friend? Are you that friend to somebody? Right? Is this the law of reciprocity? Now, when looking up those things, listen to what I'm about to say. I saw the character of God in these descriptions. And you guys gave me some that I didn't think of. So then I began to look for scriptures that show the attributes of friendship, not just scripture saying, God is my friend. We hang out, we chill. He says nice things to me. And, and I was like, okay, so they're not a bunch of scriptures that say that, but there are scriptures that are clearly defining a friendship. And as you were given these descriptions that you believe are attributes of what a friendship is, can you and could you see God in some of these descriptions that you were given just now? Very clearly. So, Joshua 1:5. Joshua 1:5. Well, let me just go to verse 9, then I'll go back to later. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, nobody said that because an earthly friend cannot do that. They can't be with you wherever you go. So now I'm looking at a God who is. So I want to read the rest of it first. Watch this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, virtuous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So he's saying you can be confident, you can trust that you'll be all right because I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Now, reading that from a biblical perspective, that's such a God thing to say, right? It's such a, well, he's with you wherever, but reading it from a friend perspective, I went, okay, now that you got me looking at this from a friend, this is different now because that means you're going to take your time and be with me wherever I go and walk me through whatever I'm walking through and help me find my way. And you got my back, even if I get it wrong. Come on, stay with me. That's a friend. That's a friend. And I'm jumping ahead of my message a little bit, but that's a friend then who sticks closer than a brother because your brother, no matter even if he's the best brother in the world, he can't be with you everywhere you go, and he can't watch your back in everything you do in life. So, we're talking about now a friendship that supersedes normal earthly human ability. So, I'm going to lay this out there before we keep going. Then I need to tap more into this friendship because this friendship has a lot of qualities that no human friendship could ever offer me. So when I say I'm a friend of God, I want to know you with me wherever I go. Can I be the same to you? To what degree, God, can I be reliable to you that I am, you're just, I don't want God to be my friend and I'm not being his. Now, my friendship has its limits. His does not. But let's keep going. One of you in your way said it. I don't know who said it, but when I read it, you'll get it. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares and anxiety on him because he cares for you. So somebody you I know part of Nelly's was part of somebody I can lay my head on, somebody I can be vulnerable with, I can rest on, I can trust in that way. It's a little bit of a say. So if he's saying to you, if you give all of your anxieties and all your cares to me because I care about you, you've described that. A combination of each of you have described a friend is somebody I can lean on, somebody that I can depend on. And he's saying, well, I am a friend, watch this, that you can cast all your cares on and let me care for you. Now, I would challenge and ask anybody to tell me, do you have any earthly person that you know that you can cast all your cares on, and they will take care of it. All of them. What about half of them? Maybe a few here and there. You got to pick a friend here for this one and a friend here for that one. But you don't have any earthly friend that you can give the whole of your care, all of it on, and they will take care of you. So, again, what I'm trying to present to you again, to today's message, and I want to go slow, I don't want to go too fast. Calm down. Because I'm getting excited. We're talking about a friend that supersedes human ability. And we spend so much time looking for an earthly friend that has a limitation. What I'm introducing today, the title is God as a Friend. If we begin to embrace God as a friend, there are so many more benefits to having God as a friend than to just looking for elements of friendship in this world that we live in today. I know there's some of you that I can call you and you'll be right there. If you call me, I'm gonna be right there. But there's times that you just can't. Kwame is probably one of the most active people that I know. If I call Kwame, he's gonna show up. Rain, snow, sleet, boots and sneakers in the winter. You know, sneakers on in the winter and snow on the ground and a t-shirt, like, bro, like, where's your coat? Right? But he shows up. But there's times that he doesn't have the God ability. He just can't be there. He can't. He may want to be there, but he can't. Why? Because he has a life. He has kids. He's got to go to work. He's got to pay bills. So he may want to be there like God, but he can't, even if he wanted to. You follow what I'm saying? But we're talking about a God that is a friend that we're not taking advantage of or participating in or getting the most out of the friendship that he is offering us. My God, I hope you're hearing what I'm saying today. Say this with me. I need to really take advantage of the friendship I have with God. I really need to participate stronger. And what I want to do by the end of this message is make you aware of how the God who created the universe, heaven and earth, goes out of his way to be a friend to us. And so I hope you walk away with something because this is some good stuff. So he said, you can cast all of your care, the whole of your anxiety on me because I care for you. That right there is something. So watch this. Let's go to the 1 Peter 1 because I put a few more of the verses in there to bring this home and make it a little more. I try to not just read a one verse, but I like to give you the surrounding stuff. So in the first Peter, we're going to start from, let's start it from six. Therefore, humble yourself, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the hand of the Almighty God, that he may exalt you. Now we go to casting your cares. And this is what why I want to read what was before a lot of them. So friendship, God, how do I say this? Friendship has prerequisite, does it not? Who agrees friendship has prerequisites? Who disagrees? Like, no, you my friend, no matter what, you my friend. Okay, so some of you, I guess, staying neutral. All right, so here we go. You're going to tell me that you have friendships or you require friendships of people that no matter how they act or how they treat you, that you still require to be their friend. They, no matter how they disrespect you, steal from you, whatever. Yeah, but I'm your friend, so I'm just going to stay your friend. All right. So everybody has a prerequisite. Everybody says, I'm your friend, but here are the guidelines of our friendship. And if you step outside of these guidelines, you may not end the friendship right away, but you're definitely going to put it on pause, or you're going to step back and you're going to reconsider if this is a good friendship to have. And if your research finds no good in it or no change in it, you're going to shut down that friendship. Now, the thing I've seen in human friendship, I don't know about biblical, but in human friendship is once somebody does something to cross that line, even if you choose again to allow them in your life, it now has different barriers around it. Correct? So, God. In these scriptures, what I'm seeing, he's saying, my prerequisites are there. They do exist. And so here's the prerequisite to casting your care on the Lord, all of it, the whole weight of it, and every anxiety. Humble yourself, demote and lower your own estimation of yourself under the hand of God. In other words, in this friendship, we're not equal. You're not on my level. In this situation, you have to swallow pride and humble yourself to the place that you're teachable before God. In other words, in this situation, what I keep seeing and realizing and learning is, and again, you may not get a lot of shouting today, but you're going to get some instruction. What I'm realizing and learning is, in order for me to hear from God the way I need to come to God with the understanding that who he is greater than I, and my final take on the situation is not the take that, okay, I'm explaining like this. Don't go to God telling God what the issue is and what needs to be done. Humble yourself. You don't know. You have no idea. You only have your perspective, which is one dimensional, where God's is 50 dimensional and he sees it from the beginning and the end. Humble yourself, lower your estimation of what you think and what you believe. You're not as smart as you think you are, and your limited life experience is not giving you enough information to come before God and lay out before him the plan or what you believe the problem is. Is that clear enough? I'm trying to be all poetic, but let me just tell it straight. All right, let me just kick it straight from the hip. You don't know squat. So when you come before God, you come before God and say, here's my estimation of what the problem is. Here's my concern of what I believe the issue is. But you know what? I humble myself before you and I realize that I have no understanding of what it is. And I humble myself under your hand. And then he says, then I'll take it from you, the whole, but you must give me the whole of it. Seen it with people believing for spouses. I see people believing for it for finances. I see people believing for it for business. And all the while, we believe we know what God got to do to make it right. And he's like, I need you. Disputes, you know, this disputes I'm dealing with in my life. And I'm like, God, if you do this and you do this, things would be better. And he's like, really? Do you really think you know how I need to fix it? No, I don't. And that's the reality that I've come to and coming to of humbling myself under the hand of Almighty God. I know how it makes me feel. I know how I believe I would handle it. But today, right now, well, I know if I could just do this, the business would turn around. If I know if we could just get this much done and we could do this many things and get this many customers, everything would be better. And God's like, okay, so then go do that. How's that working for you? Not working so good. Okay, so now humble yourself under my hand. And then I will take the whole project from you. Yeah, but I mean, but this part here, I think I got. Okay, well then come back later then. Humble yourself, demote yourself. Lower yourself in your own estimation. Let me say this to you. I know I'm staying this one a long time, and I really didn't plan to, but this is where I am, so I got to stay. We've have so much life and so much of the enemy trying to put us down. So we've learned to stand up and be strong. I'm this in God. I'm the righteousness of God, and I'm pure in God, and I'm holy in God, and no weapon formed against me should prosper. And all those things are accurate. Right? Are you listening? Are you listening? Until you get into his presence. And then you say, in you, God, I have nothing but your counsel. And I shared this with somebody not too long ago. I shared this with you guys in a message. Well, you know, my opinion is, and I said, I don't have an opinion unless God gives me one. I'm learning that. I don't have an opinion. I don't have an opinion unless he gives it to me. So here we are. He's saying all of those words you're supposed to speak, you're supposed to speak that into the air, you're supposed to speak that to the end of the lives of the enemy, you're supposed to do whatever. But when you get before me, demote yourself. I didn't say put yourself down and talk bad about yourself, but just lay all that stuff down. Put the shield and the sword and all that stuff. You don't need that with God. That's for the world. That's for the enemy. Before God, you lay down your armor and you come as a child and you humble yourself and you demote yourself. I'm not a warrior. I'm your baby right now. And I surrender everything to you. Lord, have your way. This is the stuff that I'm dealing with today in my life, in this season of my life. How do I say today I'm not a warrior? Today I'm your child. Today, I'm coming as a baby, and I'm coming before you, and I'm demoting myself before you that I might receive your full care. Now, I'll read it again. Therefore, humble yourself, demote and lower yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time, he will exalt you. He will exalt you. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant, and be cautious at all times, for your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon. Well, what is he seizing upon? He's seizing upon that person whose estimation of themselves is bigger than it should be. The pride is there. Now, I'm going to get off of this, but I'm going to say this. We did this last week. The calm, well-balanced mind with discipline Self-control, for God has not given you a spirit of fear or worry or cowardice or timidity, but a calm, well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control. So he's saying, be balanced, be temperate, be sober of mind, and be watchful. Watchful of who? The devil? No, he didn't say be watchful of the devil. He says, watch. What I'm about to say to you kind of goes against what we've learned, but listen close to the balance. For the enemy, the devil roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. So we thought he said, be watchful of the devil, be looking for him because he's sneaking around. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, be watchful, to be humble, to humble yourself, to lower yourself in your explanation and your own ex opinion of yourself. Are you catching this? He said, he ain't, there's nowhere in there he's talking about watching the devil or looking for the devil or paying attention to the devil. There's nowhere in this verse that he's telling us to put emphasis on the devil. The devil is an afterthought. He just mentioned he's looking for people who is opposite of this to attack. So we don't have to look for the devil. We have to look to do this. What? Humble myself. Demote myself in my own opinion, submit myself under the hand of God, let him protect me, because those who he's not protected, the devil's looking for. Those who are not humbled under his hand, he's walking around seeking whom he may devour. Whom may he devour, if that's good English? Those of us who have not humbled ourselves under the hand of God. Man, I could say so much more, but that's just in my spirit not to even go on to my. We're going to pick this up, but I want to make sure next week, but I want to make sure I don't give you so much that we lose this. This right here, God is a friend, and as my friend, is instructing me to put myself under him so that as the devil roams around seeking, he don't find me because I'm under his hand. See, these are the kind of things that like scripture, you just read it and it just whoop, right over your head because you ain't paying attention to it. If I'm under the hand of Almighty God, I'm covered. You understand what I'm saying? I'm covered. So as the enemy's roaming around, he don't find me. I'm hidden. And so when I started reading scriptures about being hidden and hidden under his feathers and under his wings, I'm like, wow, there's so many nuances of this that we just miss. In trying to do it myself, I expose myself to anxiety, frustration, and all of these things that come. And so the attack of the enemy is built into these things. So listen, as my friend, he wants to take care of me. And my desire to be a strong man, I want to take care of me. But I have to lower myself in explanation. An expression of who I think I am and what I think God should do. You know, I've heard people say it a lot. I haven't said anything like this in a very, very long time, decades. But I hear people say things like, it ain't fair and I don't think it's right and I think I'm a good Christian. I'm like, you know, you on some Job territory right now. And he came, when well, what did he do when Job started thinking, talking, and feeling that way? He came right on up to God with a proposal because he saw where he was. His opinion of himself, his explanation of himself was so high and so overly opinionated that Satan said, this is one fit for attack. I have accomplishments. Everybody here has accomplishments. And sometime we could begin to define ourselves by those accomplishments. Come on, stay with me. Like I said, you have to be a billionaire. I remember I didn't have nothing. I was living home and now I got my own place and I got my own car. Whatever it is, we can, or I'm still home, but I take care of paper, I take care of everybody, I take care of this one. All of those things become accomplishments. And those accomplishments begin to give us a sense of purpose or being or arrogance or belief or confidence that God is like, I need you to be careful with that, babies. I built my business from scratch and I remember I didn't have nothing. And now, okay, that's good. I want you to know that. But you have to be mindful that you remember that that it's God that has given you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with you. And once I won't say you, once I begin to believe that somehow is the works of my good hands and my intelligence or my whatever that got me here, I'm uncovered for the enemy to find. Humble yourself. Get back under his hand. Who am I? I'm learning this right now. This is my season. God, I'm just a puppet with nobody pulling the strings, laying there dead on the, lifeless on the floor, unless I'm under you. So let me have less of me. Well, I'm just bragging about the accomplishments that God has allowed me to do. God's like, yeah, a little more you than me, right? You know, it's a little more you in there than it needs to be. Because you're saying you're bragging on what I've done, but you're bragging on what I've done for you. It's a little bit different. It hits different. I'm hoping this is helping somebody, because I'm just going to tell you where I am. And God said to me, I want to hear more of me and less of you in these accomplishments. I want you to talk more about what I've done than what you've done with me. Did that help somebody? A little too much me in there. Oh yeah, yes, son. Yes, it is. And he didn't come at me hard. He just can't, you know. As any man, now I'm going by the word. Anyone seek wisdom, God will give it without finding fault. He didn't upbraid me. He didn't find fault with me. He didn't criticize or judge me. But he did. He said, "You want the wisdom? Here's the wisdom. Little less you, little more me." Well, God, Philippians 2:13, and not in my own strength, I can't do it, but it's you who work in me, both to will and to do your good pleasure. I must master this. I must seek this in this season and time. And I really want to stop coming to you with my solutions for your problems. And I've had these fights with Lindsay, I have them with Nellie, and God said, well, how do you think I feel when you come to me for a solution, and then you start giving me the solution and telling me what I should probably do when you came to me because you don't know what to do? Both of y'all know we've had that fight. Like, don't come to me and ask me for help and then start telling me what you think the solution is. If you knew what it was, get away from me, go do it, and come back to me when it doesn't work again, and then let me do what I do. And God began to say to me, you see that part, that part right there? Yeah, that right there. Don't come to me with your solutions. Come to me and cast the whole of it on me, and get humble yourself under my hand and let me take care of the whole of it, the full of it. So I'm going to finish that verse one more time, and then we're going to call it a day. But I think this was a blessing. I thank God for stopping me right here. Therefore, humble yourself, demote yourself, lower yourself in your own estimation. Trust me, it's not as easy as it sounds in the natural. Under the mighty hand of God, that in due time, he may exalt you. And even when he does exalt you, stay under his hand, babies. Stay under his hand. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, watch this, once and for all, don't give it to him and take it back, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. In Jesus' name, I receive every bit of it, Father. For us, everybody here, help our hearts rest in you and trust you, and keep us humble under your hand. Not inferior, but humble. Everything that we think we know, everything we think we understand, everything we think we figured out, We say to you today, we know nothing except you and you alone. We want you to be our caretaker. We want you to watch out for us. Forgive us for judging your work or trying to tell you how to do your work. We want to be better. We will be better. We must be better. And we choose today to not just let this word slip by, but stick with us. Let it haunt us all week that we put everything in your hand and we trust you and you alone to make everything right. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Love and blessings to you, babies.